Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Look at verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell. It's the smell of love. It's the smell of worship. It's the smell of faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm taking the title for the message from what it said in verse 12, sitting at the king's table. What a blessing to sit at the table of grace, at the banquet of mercy that the Lord spreads. While the king sitteth at his table, that's where I want to be. I want to be with the king, at the king's table, in the gospel of the king. Now we know this verse is talking about the greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that queen out of the south, 1 Kings chapter 10, came from her kingdom all the way up north to see Solomon and to ask him many hard questions. And he answered all those questions. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was a great king in Israel, wasn't he? He was the son of King David. Both David and Solomon were both personal types of the Lord Jesus Christ in their office and in their anointing of God. Solomon was given much wisdom and power to rule his kingdom, but he can never be compared. It can never be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ has all wisdom, power, glory in the salvation of his people. Now, Solomon was a wise king, but Solomon made many, many mistakes and many, many errors. The Lord Jesus Christ is without sin. He's the perfect king. Solomon was God's king, but the Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He said, besides me, there is no other. I am God. Beside me, there is no other. I'm the only just God and Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only our King, our God, and our Savior, but think about this. He's our husband. We're married to Him. We are one with Him, and therefore we have an intimate spiritual communion with Him at the table of grace. Remember in John 17, the Lord prayed, I in them, thou in me, that we may be made perfect in one. We have one perfect union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The old timers called it a vital union. We have that vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Isaiah 54, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. That's our husband. We're married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a beautiful love story we have given unto us here in these verses. And this whole, remember, it's the Song of Songs. It's the Song of Songs. It's the best love song, the best love story that's ever been told. It's a beautiful love story between Christ and his church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is totally taken up. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, believers, are totally taken up with him. For he is altogether lovely, as we read in chapter 5. And then Peter said, to you who believe. Well, he's precious, isn't he? His love to us is infinite. It's eternal. It's without beginning and without end. Remember, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 31, we read, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you unto myself. I love what it says over here in verse 4 of chapter 1, draw me and we will run after thee. You remember that verse? The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and we will rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. His loving kindness draws us to himself. That's how he draws us irresistibly. He makes himself irresistible unto us. The Lord Jesus Christ is madly in love with his bride, his church. It's his body. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He laid down his life to purchase and redeem us from all our sin. His love to us and his love to us is an everlasting and eternal love. When he talks about the love of God, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. We only love him because he first loved us. Now look at verse 12. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 12. While the king sits, where does he sit? He sits on a throne, exalted to the Father's right hand. The king sits at his table. It's a table, it's a gospel feast, it's a banquet feast. And then the bride says, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Just happy, the bride, so happy to be sitting at the table. Here our sovereign almighty king, the Lord Jesus Christ, sits at the table of his sovereign grace in the gospel, revealing himself to us. Unbelievers do rejoice in him, being one with him in those eternal covenant mercies. He is the good shepherd that prepares the table for us. Here we have, I think, in this verse, a picture of true worship as we sit with the king around his table. He seeketh us to worship him in spirit and in truth. When the king, the Lord, is pleased to meet with us and bless us with his word, by his power and his presence, what a blessed time of fellowship and worship it is. When we meet together in his name and he meets with us and we take his word and read his word and preach his gospel, that's a blessed time of fellowship, is it not? It causes the sweet smell of our love, our faith, that fills our soul, for his presence and his gospel draws out that fruit of the Spirit in us, doesn't it? His love to us draws our love out to him. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. We read a moment ago in John chapter 12 when the Lord was in Bethany and again sitting with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And then Mary came and anointed the Lord's feet, the house, with that precious, costly spikenard. The house was full of sweet aroma. And that's a picture of what happens when the gospel is preached and when it's blessed by God the Holy Spirit. The house is full of worship to the Lord. When the gospel is preached, the room is filled with the fragrance of his sovereign grace, his everlasting love, and his eternal mercy. When the gospel is preached, you remember Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. His great love wherewith he loved us. Now this spikenard, and you can read about it a lot in Scripture. It's mentioned quite a bit. This spikenard, this spice or herb, in and of itself, is a worthless shrub in itself. But when it's harvested and processed, it becomes very costly, highly esteemed, valuable, and precious. And that's a good picture of our salvation. We are by nature worthless, like that spikenard shrub. You remember verse 5 where he says, I am black. I am black. I'm sinful. But when we are harvested by his grace, redeemed by his blood, called and quickened by the Holy Spirit, made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer found in Christ is holy, without blame, and made righteous through his righteousness freely given unto us. When the Lord does the work of grace in our heart, He makes us an object of His love and a trophy of His grace. We know the wages of sin is death, right? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was reading Robert Hocker, and he made this statement, and I jotted it down. He said, we have merited hell, right? The wages of sin is death. The Lord Jesus Christ made us fit for heaven. We merited hell. That's what we deserve. But the Lord Jesus Christ made us fit for heaven. You remember this scripture from Colossians chapter 1. Give thanks to the Father who made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light in Christ, who delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of His grace. He made us fit for heaven, didn't He? By His marvelous sovereign grace. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the whole enjoyment to the believer, for He is all, He's our all and in all. And we're complete in Him. Now, I'm sure I've told you this story before, but it's been a long time, I think, since I repeated it. You remember the story of a man by the name of Happy Jack? Happy Jack, any of you remember that? Well, one old preacher years ago told a story about a young man who lived in this certain village over in England. And he was considered a poor and simple man. But one day, by God's sovereign grace, old Happy Jack was converted by the Lord's mercy. Well, the church elders called him and asked him when he came to church, they asked him to explain how this came about. He said, well, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, that Jesus Christ is my all in all. Well, they weren't quite satisfied with that question, so those wise church elders pressed him a little bit more. They asked him more about their church doctrine and different things. He said, well, I don't know much about that, but I do know this. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, and Jesus Christ is my all in all. Happy Jack. That's what I am. Christ is my all and in all. But of Him are you in Christ, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have every reason to rejoice like old Happy Jack. He's still happy today, isn't he? Look at verse 13. A bundle of myrrh. A bundle of myrrh. He's not just the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just not myrrh, sweet-smelling myrrh. But He's a bundle of it. He's a bundle of it. A bundle of myrrh is my... not only beloved, but my well-beloved. I like that, don't you? Well-beloved unto me. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts, on my chest, on my heart. He's near to my heart. Christ is a bundle of myrrh to the believer. The Lord Jesus Christ is that sweet-smelling myrrh. Very costly, rare, and precious. Our Redeemer, our Savior, is precious. He's a rare gift to us. There is none like Him. The Apostle Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He's the unspeakable gift. He's a bundle of myrrh unto me. Myrrh is a token or type of the beauty of His person and the richness of His grace. Myrrh was mixed with all the sacrifices under the law, that burnt sacrifice under the law. It was mixed with myrrh, and the smoke gave a sweet fragrance as it ascended. His sacrifice in Scripture is called a sweet-smelling savor unto the Father, satisfying all the demands of the law. You remember Ephesians chapter 2. Christ also had loved us and had given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice unto God as a sweet-smelling savor. The Lord smells of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Satisfied. That which makes us accepted to God is what? Not our sacrifices, is it? It's Christ's sacrifice for us. We are accepted in the Beloved. He is unto us a savor of life unto life. Thanks be to God who has always given us the victory. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. His sacrifice unto us is a savor of life unto life. It's not a savor of death. It's a savor of life unto life. And then verse 13, He shall lie all night. All night long. By nature, we're in the dark. He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. But even in the darkness of our depression and doubt and fear and unbelief, even in the night of unbelief, the Lord Jesus Christ, He lies betwixt our breasts. He's on our heart. That's what He's saying there. He's on our heart. He shall lie all night in my heart and my soul as we meditate upon Him. Throughout the long night of our journey here, in our pilgrimage in this life, the Lord has said He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We have His presence with us always, don't we? You remember Hebrews 13, verse 5, He said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. No, He said never. And then the ascended Lord in Matthew 28, where He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. And then He said, remember this, I'm with you always. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that's where I'm at. The Lord Jesus Christ lives within the heart of every believer by the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's called our comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the comforter. Believers are indwelt with the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is called the comforter. You remember our Lord said, when He, the comforter, has come, He'll teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. We have the abiding presence of God, the Holy Spirit, with us. Now look at verse 14. My beloved, He's all mine. Paul called the gospel on many occasions, it's my gospel. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my life and my salvation. He's my beloved. He's my beloved. Is unto me a cluster. Like you would pick a cluster of grapes hanging down. A big cluster of grapes hanging down. My beloved is just not a grape. He's a cluster. He's a cluster. In the vineyards of En-Gedi. The vineyards of En-Gedi were known like the Napa Valley of California for the rich, lush vineyards of the grapes that are grown there. My beloved is unto me a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now that word camphor there is a very interesting word. The word is translated in other places, and I looked this up to make sure. If you do a word search or look up in Strong Concordance that word camphor, the same exact word in the original Hebrew is translated in other places, ransom, covering, propitiation. What does that remind you of? He gave Himself a ransom for many. He is our covering. He is our propitiation. Remember, the Lord set Him forth as the propitiation for our sin. Now, the same word, the first time it's used in Scripture is Genesis 6:14, when it talks about Noah's Ark. You remember Noah's Ark had that special wood. What was it called? What was that wood called? Gopher wood, wasn't it? But that gopher wood was covered with pitch. That's the exact same word. K-O-H-P-H-E-R in the original. pitch. That is, that pitch was a covering for that gopher wood to protect that ark, Noah's ark. In Job 33, where it said, deliver him from going down to the pit, I found a ransom. Same word right here. And then Isaiah 43, he said, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Camphor, same word. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopian Seba for thee. The Lord Jesus Christ is our ransom. He's our atonement. He's our deliverer. The blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of peace brought again from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a cluster of merit and righteousness to his covenant people, is he not? He's a cluster of it. A cluster of oozing merit and righteousness as he appears once in the end of the age to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. God who commended his love toward us, Romans 5, 8 and 9, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He's a cluster. His atonement. Is his atonement enough to put away our sin? Is his ransom enough to pay the price for our sin? Absolutely. How do we know it's enough? God raised him from the dead. He ascended in glory and he's seated right now on the throne of God, at the right hand of God. His righteousness, is enough. Is it enough to justify us? He's called the Lord our righteousness. You see, we have a cluster of redemption. We have a cluster of righteousness, a reconciliation in Christ. Isn't that precious? Christ is made to us all that we need. Is he enough? Is the Lord Jesus Christ enough? If he's all you've got, you got enough. He's everything God provided. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. What the Lord Jesus Christ is in himself, he is to his people altogether lovely. Christ presents us to the Father in God's sight without spot, without blemish. He's the chiefest of 10,000s is my well-beloved. Now look at verse 15. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ now describing his church, his bride. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes. You remember over here in verse 5 where the bride says, I'm black but comely. I'm black but beautiful. Black but beautiful. Behold, thou art fair, my companion, my love. Behold, take a good look at this. The Lord said, my church is without blemish, without spot. And my church, my love, my bride, she had eyes like a dove. Eyes like a dove. The Lord Jesus Christ describes his bride and what they are in him. Sinners saved by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Nothing so precious in all the world to the believer as the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing so precious to him as his church. You remember verse 8 from last week. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way by the footsteps of the flock and feed the kids. Fairest among women, behold, thou art fair, my love, my companion. If you look at chapter 2, verse 10, he says this again. My beloved, chapter 2, verse 10, my beloved spake and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Look again at verse 13, the last part of verse 13, chapter 2. "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Look at chapter 4, verse 7. The Lord Jesus Christ keeps saying this about His church. "Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee." Boy, His blood cleanses us from all our sin. What a miracle of grace. The Lord speaks of us with delight and satisfaction. In His eyes, we are perfectly beautiful, comely. The way He sees us is the way we really are. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." You remember that verse over in 1 John chapter 4? "As He is, so are we in this world." You get a hold of that. Get a hold of that for a while. "As He is, so are we in this world. We have no beauty in ourselves, do we? The old wretched man that I am. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. But He delights in us as He has made us beautiful and righteous in Him. You remember Psalm 100. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, not we ourselves." He made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And His people, it says there, they have eyes like doves. How so? "They have eyes guided and enlightened by the dove of heaven, God the Holy Spirit." Remember that dove descended from heaven? The Holy Spirit descended from heaven in the form of a dove and lighted upon the Lord Jesus Christ at His baptism. God's people have eyes like doves. Their eyes have been opened and enlightened by God the Holy Spirit, the dove of heaven. He commands the light to shine, translates us out of the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of God's dear Son. They have eyes that are loyal and faithful. They have eyes of faith that look. Where do the eyes of faith look? Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. The eyes of faith don't look in here. All we see in here is just sin. The eyes of faith look at Christ. He's all our salvation. Now look at verse 16. Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 16. Again here the church answers back to the Lord. You get this conversation. "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, my well-beloved, yea, fair and beloved and pleasant, altogether lovely. Also," you mean there's more? "Also, our bed is green. Our bed is green. Thou art fair and pleasant, my beloved. My beloved is mine," Song of Solomon 2:16. "My beloved is mine and I am his." Psalm 45 said, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured forth into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." Our bed is green. Now, again, this is language that's symbolic and spiritual language. He's talking about the marriage bed. It's undefiled. Our marriage to Christ is happy, blessed, and a fruitful union. It's green. It's green. It's lively. Full, like a tree branch. He's the true vine. We're the branches, like a tree branch that's full of sap. You can bend it, but you can't break it. It's full of life. That's our bed. It's full of life because of Christ, our life. Verse 17. "The beams of our house." And notice I'm emphasizing our bed, our house. You see, what's His is ours. We've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away. The beams of our house are cedar, and the rafters of our house are fir, fine wood. Our house is built with durable and beautiful timbers. Remember, the Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our union with Christ is durable, lasting, eternal, because we're kept by the power of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. We read about the household of God in Ephesians chapter 2. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Oh, this is a fine house. It's a very fine house, because it's built by the architect, the Lord Jesus. He's the builder of his church. He's the chief cornerstone. Everything in Christ and from Christ is firm, sure, everlasting, from the union and oneness between Christ and his church. All that belongs to Christ as mediator, intercessor, advocate, all that belongs to him belongs to us. What's true of the head is true of the body. We're in him. We're one with him. We are his body. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Believers have communion with his person, his name, his salvation, and his righteousness in Christ. He's called the Lord our righteousness. Again, quoting Robert Hocker, all that Christ is, all that he is for his people. All that he hath wrought is for them. And that reminded me of this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. Now he that wrought for us, W-R-O-U-G-H-T, wrought for us, the selfsame thing as God, that is, he worked in us, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Knowing that he raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall also raise us up by him, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. May our soul live to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my well-beloved. May we walk with him by faith. May we rejoice in him always. May the Lord Jesus Christ be our portion, our inheritance, our everlasting rest, now and forever. Amen. Amen. So be it.